Jesus sees his disciples here in this gospel, and the first thing he says to them is, why are you troubled? Why do these thoughts occur in your mind? I don't know. Gosh, I was thinking in this gospel, I said, you know, if I buried a relative of mine, and then 3 days later they walked through a wall and had dinner with me, I'd be troubled too, wouldn't you? Jesus has a way of saying these things, and it's like, well, I'm kind of with the disciples on this one, you know. But what they really need is a new pair of spiritual glasses. And Christ gives them to the disciples in this reading. He says, he opens their minds, finally, to understand the scriptures and the Torah, the prophets and the Psalms as to what it says about Christ. So he gives them the eyes to see that he really has risen from the dead. He has a glorified body, and that the scriptures talked about him, and that he is God. And those are those spiritual glasses. And that's what they lacked. I was about 18 years ago. I was at the seminary then, and I went to a hamburger place to eat because the food at that evening was really not too good at the seminary. I don't know what they were serving. They had a couple of specialties there. One of them they served once was liver ball soup, you know. Sounds good, doesn't it? We weren't supposed to know what the meat was. Mystery meat, you know. So anyway, so I went there to eat. I found better places to eat as time went on at the seminary. But I struck up a conversation with a lady in line with me, an elderly woman, and I think I remember helping her to her booth, you know. And so I had lunch with her. I had not met her before. And so we were talking, and she said, oh, you remind me so much of my son, of my grandson. And I said, she said, and you're the same age too. And I said, oh, really? What age is he? She said, 21. I was 36 at the time, so I was very pleased. I'd be glad to be guessed at 36 now if I was lucky. Huh? And then she said, we were talking, and she said to me, oh, Father, pray for me. I wasn't Father then, but anyway, she said, pray for me. I said, why? She said, I've got really thick cataracts, and I can't see a thing. That went by a few of you, but it didn't go by me. If she just left well enough alone, I'd have had a great compliment out of that. She was having surgery, you know. And I thought of that because she had a kind of a blindness. The disciples have a kind of a blindness. And many of us have a kind of a spiritual blindness. And Christ wants us to see the truth. I was reading the paper this week on the internet. I don't know why these days I think I'm just going to quit reading the news because it just scares me too much. Why do I have the need to read this news all the time? You know what I mean? It doesn't take much to find a list of terrifying things to think about this week. Now there's an epidemic in Mexico and people taking over Pakistan and the unemployment rate, and there's all these different things. And I found myself wanting to hear the good news. You know, one of the great benefits of coming to Mass each week is that we really get a chance to hear the good news. And gosh, we sure hear a lot of bad news. And this gospel is really good news. I can't help but think about that Christ, the good news really is that we're all, each of us has our story that we're in the middle of writing. In a way, we're acting out a play in which we have one of the starring roles in the play, and we don't know the ending, and so it's a little scary. We're afraid something's going to be taken away from us, you know, and things have been taken away from us. But Christ tells us, he shows us the ending of the story here, see? He says, you know, one day I'm going to walk right through the wall, and I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to take you with me. And it's just a wonderful ending. And this is our future. It's our hope. We're people of hope. And we come here to hear the good news. And, you know, we have to remember that Christ is not just full of thou shalt nots. This is a religion of great hope that we have. And so that's, I think that's the great message of the gospel. But That said, I think the world is really afraid of the wrong things. No matter where you hear the news, there's only one thing that we should be afraid of, and you'll never hear it in the secular media, and probably not for many of our family and friends either. There's only one thing to be afraid of. We heard it in all three readings today. It's a three-letter word. Begins with S, S-I-N. Only sin. Because sin, especially certain kinds of sins, can block the Lord from coming through the wall and standing in our midst. That's the only thing that will stop him. Because that's our way of saying no to God. So we should have a holy fear of that. And St. Peter, in the first reading, he talks about how do I, he says, what do I do? He's talking to the very people that crucified Christ. You know, in this reading, Peter's terrified and locked in a room. Well, a month later, he's talking to the very people that condemned and crucified Christ, the high priest and the leaders. And he says, you're the ones that killed him, but you acted in ignorance. Now, turn around and repent. So repentance, once again, means a turning around. And repentance is something that we have to do all the time. It's a daily occurrence. Sometimes it's an hourly occurrence, you know. If we find ourselves getting back in that old pattern, we just call on the name of the Lord, express our sorrow, and turn around. That's repentance. And St. John, in the second reading, he says, I have written you these things, meaning his gospel and his letters, so that you will not commit sin. So the gospel gives us this insight as to, as I've said many times, what's important and what's not important. And what's not important is to worry and fear excessively about things that last only in this world, whether it's fears or anything else. What is important is pleasing God. And he says, but if we have sinned, we know we have an advocate who pleads our cause. Jesus is the one who came. And Jesus is the one that will forgive our sins if only we call upon his name. So again, this is this message of hope for those of us who are fallen creatures and do in fact commit sin. Jesus in this gospel, this is the third time we've heard this. He comes in the room. Of course, everybody's terrified. And John, of course, wrote last week, John did not recount that the disciples were afraid, did he? Because John himself was not afraid. He was at the cross when Jesus died. He wasn't afraid to be identified with Jesus as he was crucified. So John pointed out that the disciples had no belief. Luke, on the other hand, is writing. Luke was not there, but he wrote based on another apostle's memories, and that apostle remembers the fear. And so Jesus comes in the room and he says, peace be with you. And then there he shows them his hands and his feet, and he says, it's really me. The peace that Jesus is talking about is the peace of the forgiveness of sins. He's not promising us the peace of never having a problem, the peace of never having having to struggle, the peace of having everything our own way. That's the peace of the world. It's false, it does not last, and it's phony. Try if you want, but you're not going to achieve that kind of peace. It won't last. But the peace Christ is talking about is the peace of knowing you're loved by God and that you're forgiven by God and that the Lord loves you, he's real, and he's a part of our lives. We say this at Mass every week. I don't know if you've noticed. There's about three places at Mass where we talk about peace. One of them is, Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, you see, but on the faith of your church. The peace we're talking about is the peace of the forgiveness of sins, not the peace of the absence of war. They're two very different things. So today I think our Lord is calling us to allow him to give us that cataract surgery that woman in the beginning of my homily needed, and to allow him to put on the spiritual glasses that we that he wants to give us, the scriptures, so that we can see what's really important and what's really not. The Lord tells us, only be concerned about pleasing me. Only worry about sin. Do not fear anyone or anything else.